absolutely fantastic to have Alvin Owens, the CEO and founder of Regimen Barber Collective and the lead organizer of Kenosha's Juneteenth celebrations, happening in just a few hours at noon at 13th and Lawn, right off of 52nd Street, right across the street from his shop. I cannot wait to get out there. Until next time, bye everybody. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Falkowski, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Mangi. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconzard, and this is Education Matters. Today, we have guests from the Kenosha Public Library to discuss summer programs in the libraries this year. Heather Thompson is the head of Youth and Family Services at the Kenosha Public Library. Before this position, she was Youth Programming Librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, as well as a Children's Librarian and E-Media Specialist at the Cook Memorial Public Library District in Libertyville, Illinois. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Shannon Urban is the head of Adult and Digital Services at Kenosha Public Library. Before this position, she was an Adult Services Librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, as well as the manager of the Strategic Information Center at Rockwell Automation. Wow. Hi, Shannon. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And Brandi Cummings is the communication specialist at the Kenosha Public Library. She's been working for the library for 15 years and has spent time in many departments and positions before leading the marketing team for the past 3 years. Is it more than three now, Brandi?
We've actually just passed four.
Just passed
getting
four.
Getting close to five, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So welcome back, Brandi and Heather, and welcome, Shannon. So I just want to remind everyone, I'm still taping programs from home, so forgive noises, lagging audio, and interruptions from pets. And, well, my child isn't here right now, but that happens occasionally, too. So welcome. It's nice to see you. Looks like all of you are actually in the library building. Or a building. Are you all in the same building?
We are.
You're in the Southwest Library. That's the biggest one, right?
Correct.
So school is out as of yesterday in KUSD. What is a normal summer like in mid-June? And what was it like last year? And how do you expect things will play out this year?
Well, typically once school is out, it is extremely busy in the library all summer long, at least in the children's department. I guess I can't speak for Shannon. We just get carried away with how many kids are usually here. So mm-hmm. Even look at the rest of the library. Last year, we were closed to the public when school let out, or when the school year ended, I should say. And Brandi, can you remind me, did we reopen Simmons and Uptown in June, or was that July?
I believe it was right after the 4th of July holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of our buildings were shut down last year, so it was very different. Mm-hmm. this year, we're in kind of like an in-between. We've been open all of our buildings for some time now, and patrons are finding their way back, and we're definitely seeing an increase in children and teens and families heading back to the library.
And I don't know, Shannon, did things change in the adult services over the summer as well? And how are they different from the rest of the year typically?
So far, we have noticed an increase in our returning adult students and learners. So our study rooms are full most of the time. Many of our tables are very busy with groups that are coming in to work on either just studying, papers, projects, kinds of things. So everybody's getting back in the swing of it.
Okay. Yeah. So we're feeling like things are returning to pre-COVID conditions, but I'm sure there's still some precautions that you have to take. So where is Kenosha Public Library with COVID mitigation at this point? Are you, do you have any capacity restrictions, or what's the masking rule? What's happening in your buildings?
Yeah, so the mask mandate that the Common Council for the City of Kenosha had in place ended at the end of March or end of May. So we are following CDC guidelines, where we ask people who are visiting us who are not fully vaccinated yet or are feeling unwell to continue to wear a mask, much like you see many retailers doing the same thing, same sort of signage. Our staff who are fully vaccinated are free to be maskless, and we ask those who are not to follow the same suggestions of masking. We are still having a capacity limitation, so we're 50% in our buildings right now. And it, I have to say, it feels really good to see us get up to those numbers. When school let out yesterday, my office has a wonderful view of the main street here at Southwest Library, and there was just a flood of teens running in the middle of the day. And all the tables in front of my office have been packed with adults, as Shannon mentioned, either student learning or working together on projects. And it's been really great to see the bodies back in the building. So we're still behind some plexiglass, we're still cleaning common surfaces, we're still meeting all those CDC guidelines and regulations, but we're able to welcome in more people, which is really exciting.
Right. So if you were wondering, they're happy to have you back. Find your closest or favorite library and make plans to go in and see. So there are lots of other things going on just besides sort of our regular library things available. So in summer, everybody has special programs going on. So tell us about all the special summer things for different age groups, different learning opportunities.
How much time you got, Karen?
Yeah, I know. There's this is going to be a long list. We only have a 42-minute show, but yeah, share. So we get everybody back in the library.
Yeah. So one of the best things in the Youth Services Department, one of our favorite things, and in the past it was a very popular thing, was having lots of in-person programs for children and teens and families. We did lots and lots and lots. And that was really sad to let go of during the pandemic and kind of have to transition it and offer programs in different ways. But this week we have story times back in person, and they've been outside. They've been going really well. We have the story times here at the Southwest Library Park, which is the little park with the playground on the north side of the parking lot. We have a north side story time that is across the street from the north side parking lot in the fire station's field. And it's, I will just say, important to note, don't park in the fire station lot, please. Park in our parking lot and then go over. We have things, some story times outside at the Simmons Library on the back patio adjacent to the parking lot. And we also have Lincoln Park story times by the flower garden outside. And so those are every week. We're doing some park and play story time programs where the bookmobile is coming out. And that's three times a week at Petsky. Hold on, I'm trying to remember. I'm not even looking at all the things. Petsky Park, Schulte Park, and
Roosevelt
Park. Yes. Brandy knows all the things.
I'm just so excited about the Roosevelt Park. It's right behind my house, and I can't wait to take my nieces and nephews. Yes. So excited.
Yeah, so we have lots of good stuff with weekly story times. I would say one of the best things is for working parents. On Saturdays, we're doing family story times at the Southwest Library Park. And we also have 6 p.m. story times on Tuesdays at outdoors at on the Simmons patio. So lots of opportunities to come and have fun with our excellent storytellers. We have some 5 to 12-year-old programs outside. One that's coming up that I know people are excited about is pendulum painting, where we're going to paint the sidewalks with a pendulum full of chalk paint, essentially. So kids will get some science and some art all together. We have also for 9 to 12 year olds, a virtual program called Chess Challenge. And that will be with an outside presenter who's a chess enthusiast. And he will just present different chess scenarios, like little things that the kids have to solve in two teams. And so they'll sharpen their chess skills, and that'll be fun. For our teens, we have teen yoga, which I'm offering, and I'm very excited to offer outdoors. And families, again, lots of different programs for families, but one of the interesting ones is on a monthly basis, they're invited to a different park to explore the park. And so they'll have like a scavenger hunt, a pop-up story walk, crafts, play paths, all sorts of things that'll take you all over the park. So the first one is at the Lincoln Park, then Washington Park, and then Porio Park.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. So for people who maybe didn't have something to write with while they were listening to this, they're driving around in the car, where can they find the list of these activities once they're out of the car later?
So all of these activities can be found on our website at mykpl.info, and it's on a little tab called Events and Calendar. So all of that is there. But if you do stop in to any of our youth services branches, we have a sheet of paper that has all of our events listed on it for you as well.
Great. Okay. So then everybody, that's where you find it in case any of those things sounded intriguing, but you didn't get the date and the time. Now you know.
There's so much more.
And there's so much more. That's true. So that was just a little taste of everything for the youth services. So Shannon, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's going on for adult services in the summertime.
So for adult services, we are easing back into having in-person programs as well. So right now, some of our book clubs and some of our computer classes are going to be back in Southwest or Northside. And we still have a restriction for 10 people in each room. So there is still a registration requirement like we were doing over the summer for our virtual programs. But all you need to do is go ahead and register, and then we're going to start having some of those in here. For outdoor programs, we are temporarily stopping our In the Making craft boxes that we've been doing over the last year, where people could register for a monthly craft, pick up the kits, and then learn how to do it online with our Creative Bug subscription on our website. But for the summer, we wanted to get hands-on again. So we're doing Diorama, D-Y-E, for every other Tuesday through July and August. And that's going to be a different dyeing project. And I remember they are tie-dye, dip dye, and shibori dyeing. And the other three are going to be a surprise because I don't know them off the top of my head. So you can join us in the Southwest parking lot every other Tuesday night for a new craft project. And we also have three monthly themes for the summer. So for June is Pride Month. So right now we have a series of programs to celebrate Pride. And then in July, we're doing Nights at Northside, which is going to be every Friday night is an outdoor event at the Northside Library. And then in August, we're doing Clean Water Kenosha, which is a citizen science project with a lot of really fun activities for families.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of things. So one of the things that's kind of interesting about what you've all talked about is that a lot of it wasn't about books, because I think that's what people think the library is for. And you talked about so many other things. You do, however, have an Everybody Reads program. Is that correct? So tell us a little bit about that and how it might be different at different age groups.
Well, for the kids and teens, we have a different program for ages 0 to 5, ages 5 to 12, and ages 12 to 19. They all operate really similarly. And we tried to make it as easy as possible for parents and caregivers when they have kids in multiple age ranges, so it doesn't get too confusing with who needs to be doing what. So for the little guys, ages 0 to 5, they read with their child 15 minutes a day for 45 days, which is half of the summer, right? And when they are finished with that, they can come back into the library and they get to pick out a free book of their choice. In addition to that, there are, there's a list of 10 different activities. They can do 5 of the activities, and then they get entered to win one of 8 different $25 gift certificates to local establishments. So this year, for the little guys, it's Blue House Books, Duck Duck Goose, PlaySpace Kenosha, and Scoops, because everybody likes ice cream.
Ice cream, yes.
Yes. So like I said, it is really very similar for ages 5 to 12. The difference is that they need to read 20 minutes a day instead of 15, and their activities are different, and 2 of the gift certificates are different. There's Kenosha Public Museum and Gatormson, hopefully pronouncing that right, Recreation Center for bowling. And the teens read 30 minutes a day, and their gift certificate differences are Coliseum Games and Common Grounds Cafe.
Ah, so the best thing would be, teens, if you're listening, is to read at Common Grounds. And then you can get your gift certificate later on, and you'll have your friends and have your coffee together, so, or your pastry or whatever. Okay, so Shannon, tell us a little bit about adult Everybody Reads programs.
For adults this year, we have 3 different reading tracks, and they follow the service models that we have. So, the themes are strengthening neighborhoods, inspiring learning, and keeping you curious. And inside each one of those logs, so there are 5 categories. So under strengthening neighborhoods, you'll have options to contribute, explore, collaborate, learn, and diversity. So under each 5 of those tags that are different under each of the 3 logs, you get 3 activity options. So for keeping you curious under experience, we do have the 3 options of join a pride program, join something at Knights at Northside or any of our other contests or outdoor activities for the month. And then in August is citizen science. So if you check one thing off under each of the 5 categories in one log, you get a ticket. And if you complete all 3 logs, which would be 15 activities for the summer, then you get 3 tickets. And our prizes are $50 gift cards to Blue House Books, The Buzz, and Equinox.
Wow.
So you can earn up to 3 tickets. You can put all 3 in one to better your chances, or you can put 1 ticket under each one to see which one you can win that way as well.
Okay. And I know, because I was looking at the website, so where did they find the adult summer reading section? Can you give the URL for that?
Absolutely. It is mykpl.info/summer reading.
Right. And if you look at it, I mean, so it sounds like there's a lot there, but when you look at it, it's a nice handy list. So I would say go and take a look. And if you are not a computer user or you don't have one at home, you can always go into the library and use one of their computers and have them show you how to access the lists and activities, etc. So I just want to do a quick reintroduction. You're listening to WGTV HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Kenosha Public Library's Summer 2021 Reading and Other Programs is archived at WGTV.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTV Education Matters Facebook page and join in the discussion there. So you already talked a little bit about this, Shannon, but I was looking at the KPL webpage to prepare for the interview, and I saw seed bomb instructions. Tell us about that. I'm just really curious, what is a seed bomb? Why is this associated with the library?
So seed bombs are an opportunity to sort of pre-pack seeds into a little ball that's put together with some clay, I believe. I'm looking for the instructions going, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. So you roll your seeds up in a clay mix. And then once it dries, you can give it away as a gift, or you can just go ahead and plant it. And this year, the seed bombs are going to be wildflowers from native Wisconsin. So it's just a really nice way to share something beautiful with your friends and family, or to put something in your own yard. I do recommend, please don't put them in other people's yards or in public spaces, because they may not appreciate the beauty as much as the rest of us. But the idea came from the popularity of our big read with Lab Girl and all of the science and nature programs that we had during that event. We wanted to sort of carry that through, which is why we see a lot more citizen science programs going on right now, and while we're trying to do some more of that activating of outside spaces.
Okay, that sounds like fun. And then I saw on your summer reading page, you had this list, and I believe this was the learning section. So there are there were four categories. I sort of looked at this and I thought, oh, everyone is going to find something of interest in these four. And there are many more things besides these four. So keep that in mind. But just briefly, tell us what people would find if they access digital citizenship course, online learning databases, genealogy databases, and business databases. I know we could probably have a whole show about each one of those, but just give us a little sample. Like, what would adults and teens find, and what would they learn if they chose to access them?
The digital citizenship course is an opportunity to prepare yourself for being more digitally active in a safe environment. So you learn how to look for proper information, how to have online civil discussions. We know sometimes when you're doing community engagement, that can be difficult, but we want to give people guidance on how to interact in this digital space now. And then also internet security. So making sure that, you know, you're able to communicate and to share online, but to also do that safely with your passwords, with your internet connections, with your own personal privacy. You know, what do you share online and what shouldn't you share online? For the other ones, what do we say? Genealogy?
Yeah, genealogy.
Genealogy has Ancestry.com, Heritage Quest, and a couple of local databases that we've collected photographs and newspaper articles for people to, you know, research their families and just other Kenosha history. The business databases include Reference USA and some really cool legal forms that we just added. There's a foundations database. There's the government index. So if you're looking for grants or subsidies or other financial assistance for, you know, your business, if you need to create wills or estates, estate guidelines, or landlords and tenants doing a rental contract, we have a lot of really great resources under that category. And then the other ones were learning. So we have a couple of databases there where you can actually take online courses that will include prep and testing and certification.
So for things like Excel and other kinds of software programs, or what else is on there for certification?
There's business classes, computer classes, some creativity. I think there might be music and other things in there as well. But the one that, excuse me, I know a lot of people have been using is nursing testing. So you can do the pre-tests for different things, but then there are also some opportunities to get your certification online as well.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So if you don't have plans for the summer and you're still not feeling really great about a long trip or some kind of travel, then you could say, hey, I'm going to get certified in this new thing. So I can get a new job or a new opportunity or whatever. So, wow, that's pretty great. And those are open to anyone, I assume. So teenagers, if they were interested and they wanted to get ahead over the summer, could do some of those things.
Yes, absolutely. They're open to anyone either if you come into the library, you can go ahead and use them on our computer spaces. And if you have a library card, you can access from home.
Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the gift cards and some other things that are available as prizes. So you named in when you talked about those are your community partners, but some, I think this is probably a Brandy question. Who are some of your community partners and how do you work together? I know the fire station is letting you use their parking lot, yeah, right? So
absolutely. I mean,
or no, not point, the parking lot, the field, sorry. The field,
yes. You can walk to the field through the parking lot if you leave your car at Northside.
Yeah. Okay.
But at this point, who isn't our community partner, right? We are so lucky to have such a robust selection of organizations and individuals and other public entities to work with. Obviously, we work closely with the museums, our cultural counterpart here in the city. We do a lot of work with different groups like the Building Our Futures organizations. We work really closely with them, helping them further their mission and studies and their projects. And we get to see a lot of really great things grow from that. One of our currently in-house partners that's really exciting is the Kenosha Community Media. So our public access channel lives here at the Southwest Library now. And they run their entire filming out of our hub, the digital studio space here at Southwest. And people are able to access that for their own television shows, but we also see a lot of small businesses come in to do commercials or podcasts or tapings to help promote their businesses or help promote church services. So we're really partnering with so many, many people. And one thing we learned through the pandemic and our time of not having people in our buildings was how quickly those partnerships could pivot digitally. And that was really exciting to see too, that we were able to join forces with people from outside of our area in a new way that was really kind of a silver lining to the whole, downside of having to be so distant from people. So we've got a lot of great partnerships going on. One thing we're really excited about, Shannon mentioned briefly the Nights at Northside program. So Friday nights in July, the Northside Library's parking lot will be activated with different themes. And there's a couple new partnerships that are coming out of that. One of them being on July 23rd, we're having a Kenosha Opera Festival. So we're really excited to be hosting this kid-friendly Birds of a Feather, which was actually written by someone we're all familiar with here, Greg Berg. Oh. And yeah, it'll be performed for families at the Northside Library, and we get to see wonderful opera performers from our neighborhood. But we're also seeing food trucks pop up for those events. So we're so excited to welcome Blue Popper, which is a new food truck in the area, and Kona Ice, who is an established, long-loved summer treat. So we're constantly building that repertoire of partners, and we're so excited to be able to help support and connect businesses and our community.
Great. A question I had, and I'm sure listeners have this as well, is that last August, Kenosha experienced a lot of challenges through the civil unrest, and there was a lot of devastation in the Uptown neighborhood, and that is one of the oldest branch libraries in the system. So tell us a little bit about how the Uptown Library is doing, how it's functioning, what's happening, and how is it helping the neighborhood recover?
Yeah, so the Uptown Library is doing great. I'm so happy to report. We, as you mentioned, it is our second oldest library in our system here. Historic building from 1925, and really a landmark in that community. And what we've seen after the devastation that neighborhood went through this summer is just a rise of community organizations coming together. You'll see the Uptown Kenosha Inc. Facebook page is constantly having Uptown cleanups, and that's a partnership with a few different entities. And you're seeing these different organizations pop up and plan these wonderful events to really celebrate the culture and community that's always been in that neighborhood. And so the Uptown Library was one of the first to return to full operating hours and has been open the longest out of all of our branches because it serves as a connector for the community to internet access, to cooling centers, to warming centers in the winter. And the staff there is so excited to be able to welcome people into a space to either connect with the world around them, or what we all kind of need during this is a place to disconnect and maybe get lost in a good book or get lost in a, you know, a good computer program or a video game. So there's a lot happening there, and we're excited to see that continue to grow.
Great. Also, and this is congratulations to all of you, KPL won some significant awards this year. And for those who didn't hear our earlier program about the KPL awards, can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm hogging all the fun things to talk about. Sorry, friends. So 2020, we were thrilled to be announced as the Wisconsin Library Association Library of the Year. And following that, we received a nomination as one of the 15 library finalists for the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences National Medal, which is the highest recognition in the country for libraries and museums. While unfortunately, we didn't make it into the top three winners, being amongst the top 15 in the nation for a finalist is a great honor. And we're very excited to continue to celebrate that. And we recognize that it's a big part of that is a tribute to our commitment to serving our community, not just through the pandemic and not just through the civil unrest we saw, but the great lengths our staff go through every day to make sure that this is a space that is welcoming and reflective and encouraging of the community that we serve.
Excellent. I just want to reintroduce again, you're listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Kenosha Public Library Summer 2021 Reading and Other Programs is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So we've talked a little bit about things you've learned over the past year through the pandemic and other events. What do you think of some of the think of as the positive changes that have made, and what have you missed most over the last year? So maybe we'll start with Heather. How's that?
Well, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? We really missed doing in-person programs, particularly my team who does story times. They have been so looking forward to this week, having in-person story times again and seeing the little faces and getting to interact with them. There's just nothing like it. And so we're very excited that those are back. But at the same time, positive thing that came out of the pandemic and us pivoting to provide services during the pandemic was virtual programs. It allowed us to do some really cool things, like recently we hosted two very prestigious authors for, one was a young adult author and one was a juvenile and young adult author. We were able to have them just come and chat with us on Zoom, which is like amazing. One was Meg Medina, and she's the winner of a Newbery Medal, and so like big time. And the other was Nick Stone, who is a young adult author and New York Times bestseller. So there's been some really cool things to come out of virtual programs.
Great. Okay, Shannon, do you have any pluses and minuses from this period?
I was just mentally cursing Heather because she took my answers.
It's okay.
But I can also add, since we are adult and digital services, one of the things that we were really aware of was the technology. So obviously when we all got virtual, that was something that some people were pushed out of their comfort zone and now have a lot of really great tech skills that they didn't have a year ago. I know some of us had to learn on the fly. I had a lot of people who said, I have a laptop. I can and log in for this program, but they didn't know that they needed a video camera or whether they were equipped with one or how to, you know, pivot and do that, or it didn't have a microphone. So you can still, you know, call in with your cell phone, even though you're logging into the Zoom link on your laptop. So it was really great to see people who we know had traditionally shied away from that kind of service because they just really wanted to engage with the library programs that were available. But it also is that double-edged sword because one of the things we spend a lot of our time doing is helping people with those tech skills. So not being able to have that one-on-one tech appointment, which is where we would have helped people learn about virtual online programs, we weren't able to do that. So we really had to learn to kind of do that on the fly with plexiglass between you, over the phone. We have some very good customer service skills, but we got very good at being able to explain something over the phone that you can't point to on a computer screen like you would have been able to in person. So we all learned a great deal.
I think everyone can relate to that one. Like we all either needed help over the phone with something or we tried to give help over the phone with something tech related. So do you think library science programs are going to change how they prepare librarians so they can offer more remote programs? Or is that just something that we'll learn in place, in the future if it's necessary?
I think these programs themselves are, they come out with the right tools when we think about technology and digital spaces, because that's where we've been going for many years now. But, and this is a broad way to say it, but disaster preparedness, the pandemic is the one that we took. But previously to that, in library school, we didn't have, at least in my day, I know I'm a little bit older than the other two panelists here. We didn't have anything that was, things that we know have happened over the last decade with different library situations, hurricanes, flooding, and now a pandemic. Like there was no coursework, there was no, interning, there was no actual learning about that kind of preparedness. Those are the kinds of things that you go out and would do extension learning with, that all done even not just recently because of the pandemic, but I just did something like that a year ago through the National Library of Medicine is doing programs for that. So we have the opportunity to learn that, but I think it has brought it to the forefront that we need to learn more right away when we're beginning our profession and not sort of on our back heel as we go. But I know Heather has some thoughts on that as well.
I do. One thing that a lot of graduate programs in library science have going for them is that they are offered virtually. There's a lot of online masters in library science programs. And so those students are naturally going to be coming out prepared to do a lot of virtual presenting, because that is what you do for your entire graduate degree. So that's just a built-in bonus. But I'm generally speaking, really, when I went through my graduate program, the most useful things to me were the practical applications, projects that showed you what exactly you would be doing in a library, as opposed to, theoretical applications of library science. And I definitely think there could be more of that in graduate programs. As Shannon was mentioning, disaster preparedness is certainly one of the things. Just learning how to present a program to a specific audience in general would be extremely helpful. Learning how to write grants would be extremely helpful. Learning about, managing your collection. If you take a collections course in graduate school, you do usually get to learn some sort of hands-on stuff, which is extremely helpful, but it's not always required. And so, yeah, I have a lot of very strong opinions about how things should be run in graduate programs, but I'm just want it to be practical.
Yes. Well, and it's hard to predict, right? So people do their their degree and then they become librarians for 40 years. It's a little hard to project that far forward, but
it is.
Yeah, I think the digital stuff, we all sort of saw that coming 40 years ago, but I don't know what the next 40 years are going to bring. I want each of you to name something that you want to share with the library patrons that are listening that they won't want to miss this summer. What is like one really great thing that you want to share as our last moments of our interview?
I'm going to jump and go first because I'm really excited about Nights at Northside. I know I've brought it up a couple times in our time here together, but Friday nights at the Northside Library in the parking lot, July 9th, July 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, there'll be different themes, different activations, including the return of everyone's favorite chalk art competition, Chalk It Up, which is sponsored by our friends of the library. So come on out to Northside this summer and have a great time with us.
And where do they find that schedule again?
It'll be at our website at mykpl.info/events.
And also on paper in the buildings, right? You can get a schedule. Okay.
You can come in and pick one up. Yep.
All right, Shannon, what's your thing that you don't want anybody to miss?
I think everyone's going to learn a lot from our August Clean Water Kenosha. So everyone has been very responsive to citizen science. So there is going to be a great lineup of programs that will particularly partner with our water utility here in the city. So you'll learn a little bit more about how you get that clean water, but also how to take care of your own access within your homes and for the safety of your family.
Will that little trailer with the clean water that you can drink, will it be there? When you're doing those events?
We're still planning the finalizing with our rep over there, but we're going for it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because that's super fun. And I know kids love it, but I just think it's a great thing. Okay, Heather, final word. What is the thing that you really want to share that's happening this summer?
I'm really excited for having three different types of yoga programs for kids, teens, and families this summer. We have four youth and family services staff members who are certified yoga teachers. And so we're going to be in the parks. We have beach yoga for ages 5 to 12. And for a long time now, families have been really wanting to be able to do our fun style of yoga with their kids. And now they can. You have the opportunity to this summer, and it's going to be super fun.
Okay. So, and everyone, just another reminder, mykpl.org. Is that right? No. Oh,
info.
What is it?
Info.
Oh, sorry. mykpl.info. So go to the website, look at all the things. I mean, you could spend an hour just kind of paging through everything there. So I hope everyone who's thinking, oh, there's nothing to do this summer, there are so many things to do. And we have just been talking to the library staff. I haven't had an interview with the museum staffs yet. So that might have to happen too. So you see what's happening there. I want to thank our guests, Heather Thompson, the head of Youth and Family Services at Kenosha Public Library, Shannon Urban, who's the head of Adult and Digital Services, and Brandi Cummings, who is the Communication Specialist at Kenosha Public Library. This is WGTD HDFM, and this program is Education Matters. You may access the archived version of this at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again. Or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and I'm excited about the program today because it's the first time that I've done both an audio and a visual program. That's one piece of excitement. And two, I'm here at Lemon Street Gallery, which is near and dear to my heart. And I have Beth